Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to give you a quick thought from the Word tonight. I've not been preaching through a series or anything here lately on Wednesday night, just giving you thoughts out of my Bible studies, things that often as I'm reading my Bible that I end up jotting in the margin of my Bible, just little thoughts that go with it, things that catch my attention. And I'm going to look at a verse. It's for many, many, many people, it's their favorite verse in the whole Bible. I've got a lot of men that have signed my Bibles over the years, and many of those men sign their favorite scripture under their verse. Often you'll see this particular scripture signed there underneath their name. So it's obviously a greatly beloved verse. It's also a very inspirational verse. It's a verse that many people, when they were at their wits' end, grabbed a hold of this verse for inspiration, for motivation. And, you know, lots of people hit that point, you know, where they're just about to quit, just about to give up, or they're feeling discouraged. And often this is the verse that brought them back into the game. I remember as a basketball player, this verse was taught to us by our coach. He made us memorize it early on, and he taught us some things behind it to motivate us. So we'll get to it here. How many of you have already figured out which verse it probably is? I should say no, just so you don't get it right. But you are right. Philippians 4, verse 13 is what we're going to focus on here in a minute. But we're going to read down to it, starting here in verse number 4. We're going to read down to verse number 13 here. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Boy, that's a hard one to practice sometimes, but if you'll learn to do it, you'll find much joy in your life. Rejoice. Find the joy. Find the joy. Find the joy. Rejoice in the Lord. When does the Bible tell us that we need to rejoice in the Lord? Find the joy. Always. Always. The whole way. You notice that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." That's talking about worrying all the time. Does any of you have a problem with worry? You do? You do? You're just being honest. Debbie, I find that hard to believe. You worry about things once in a while. My goodness. You know, the Bible tells us we're not supposed to worry. But I got to be honest, sometimes I have failed at that. Who's with me on that? How many of you have ever laid awake all night worried about something? You know what's the bad thing about worry? It's usually energy spent on things that are out of your control. Out of your hand, not under your management. Brother Eddie, have you ever laid awake worrying about stuff? Probably working on Fords. Worried about them Fords that keep coming in the door. Well, worry is often a lot of energy spent with things that often you just have no control over. No control over. There's nothing you can do about it. There's not one thing you can change about it. But it sometimes grabs you. Grabs you. Sometimes you're worried about other people's decisions, worried about things that are happening that you can't fix. But the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to worry. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." We see this, these elements here. We see that prayer and getting our prayers met starts with faith. We see that in this we're supposed to ask. You know, praying is asking. Praying is asking. When you're praying, you're asking God for things and for help. And where does that motivation come from? Needs. Supplication, needs, things that we need God to supply that motivates us to pray. In that prayer, we're to ask, and then we're to also, in that same prayer, offer up, as we're asking, offer up thanksgiving for what God has already done or what we know God is going to do. So while we're praying, we're thinking about the needs that we're worried about. Those needs cause us to go to the Lord in prayer. We're supposed to talk to Him about those needs. But while we're saying, "Lord, I need this," we're supposed to be also praying prayers of gratefulness, thankfulness, because God has already done a lot. Who would say amen to that? Man, God has done so much. Often we can get just so focused on that one need, that one thing that we're worried about, that we can forget that God has been good and that He has supplied and that He is giving and that there are so many things that we do not have need of. We often focus on that one thing that we are just very burdened about. But He's reminding us here, don't ever forget to be thankful. Let your requests be made known unto God. Go ahead and let him know and talk to him about it. But always make sure that God knows you're thankful. Number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Who's with me on that? That peace of God that passes all understanding. And you just can't explain it. You don't know why you should be scared to death. You should be worried beyond any control. There should be so much nervousness and anxiety, and yet somehow you find peace when you get into praying and talking to God about your needs and your supplications. When you replace that worry with just going to the Lord, you find that peace that passes all understanding. Miss Barbara and I were talking about that very thing today. She brought up this verse, and we were talking about it there in the hospital. We just had a great time talking about scriptures and finding encouragement through them. But there really is truly a peace that's unexplainable. You just don't know where it comes from. And what is the how do you feel this way when you should be worried to death? How does that peace come over you? I don't know how to explain it because the Bible says it is without understanding. But I do know it exists. How many of you have ever had this phenomenon where you went from worry, then you started praying, and before you knew it, you just had peace come over you? And you can't really understand. The problem didn't go away. Am I right? Miss Tina, when you experienced that, was the problem that was stressing you out suddenly gone? Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Sometimes God just removes it. I noticed that you looked at your husband, though, and had to think, man, he's still here. Look at that. Even your husband agreed, yeah, that would be true. But the reality is, though, a lot of times the problem's not gone. Or the worry, the health problem, whatever it is that's got you stressed out. Sometimes the reality of that is still there. But in the midst of that reality where you were just overcome with worry, now you are finding that you have a peace come over you that you really don't understand. You don't really know how to explain it. But you just get that feeling that everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. And that's the Holy Spirit comforting you. What is the Holy Spirit's nickname, by the way? The Comforter. The Comforter. He brings comfort. And in that comfort, when you start praying, you go from worrying to praying, God brings this peace that passes all understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says that it'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice there, it says through Christ Jesus. If you have your pen, underline those three words. We'll see something similar to that in our theme verse here in a moment. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we see that there's worry, and then in our worry, we start to pray. In our prayers, we start to be thankful for what God has already done and is doing and will do. And then all of a sudden, there's a peace that comes over you that will keep your heart and your mind. And we see that what powers all of this is Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren. And this is a famous verse, and we're not going to spend any time looking at it tonight. But boy, it's a great verse. Many, many sermons are preached through verse 8. In this, we see 8 things that should dominate our minds. What dominates your mind? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? Now, the Bible warns us that as a man thinketh in his heart, what's the rest of the verse? So is he. So we have to be careful what dominates our mind. People that are dominated with sad thoughts are going to be sad in their spirit. People that are dominated with mad thoughts are going to be mad in their spirit. But by the same token, people that allow glad thoughts to dominate their spirit will be glad in their spirit. So what dominates your mind? If it's sinful, then your actions will be dominated by sin. Whatever you think about often becomes what you are, what you do, what you desire. So we have to be careful about it. And we see here where Paul gives us 8 things that should dominate our thoughts. And this won't happen in the natural man. This will only happen by a person who converts from a natural way of thinking to a spiritual way of thinking. Your natural way of thinking goes against the grain with this. Did you know that? We naturally tend to be drawn to negative. We are drawn to bad. I mean, when was the last time there was anybody interested in watching a news report about a plane that didn't crash? You know, I remember when the Space Shuttle Challenger crashed. It suddenly, this discussion came out about how space travel became so routine that people had just even quit watching it. And numbers were way down, and then this tragedy happened, and suddenly there was a renewed interest in the space program. And you know what had happened? They became successful, and they began to successfully send people up, and then there was no news. There was no drama. There was nothing sad or bad about it. We are naturally drawn to things that bring us down. Am I right about that? I mean, let's be honest. Most gossip, is it good news? Do you ever feel bad about sharing good news? Let me tell you something. Come here. Come on, look around. Listen. Olivia got a boyfriend. Yeah, he's a good-looking guy, man. He's great. Got a job. He makes $1 million a year. Drives a Ferrari. Does that sound good? You want me to keep talking? No? Sounds great, huh? Has a big mansion with rooms for mom and dad to live in and a huge pool. I mean, when's the last time you got with somebody and said, hey, let me tell you something. Come here. Sure. Listen, man. I'm feeling great today. Life is going good. Listen, everything is awesome. When was the last time you had a conversation like that? I mean, come on. We end up naturally drawn to things that bring us down. Things that become a weight when we hear it. Don't you hate it when somebody tells you something bad and then ends it with, don't tell anybody? And suddenly you're just like, with this weight, you know. Guess what? We're pregnant. How many people did you, well, you better not answer this. I was going to say, how many people did you tell before you told your parents? But don't answer that. Don't answer that. Them's fighting words, buddy. Listen, though, you tell people, I think I might be pregnant, but don't tell anybody. You know what most of the time them girls do? I'm not going to tell anybody. As soon as you walk away, you won't believe this. Oh, my goodness. Don't tell anybody. It becomes a weight, and you're just like, oh, man, I got to carry this secret. And a lot of times these things bring us down, and they occupy our mind, and they don't do us good. I mean, most of the news is negative, and we occupy our mind with it. And often worry becomes the result of things occupying our mind. And here's the catch on it. Most of the time, that nothing you can do about it except worry about it and carry the secret. But yet Paul says, let me give you something better. Instead of being worried all the time, just being worried all the time and stressed, he said, when you're worried, get to the Lord and start praying about it. When this happens, tell him your needs, but also be thankful. And then something's going to happen in your heart. You're going to find a peace that passes all understanding. You're going to suddenly be like, wow, I'm just not worried about it anymore. And then he says, but let me tell you this. 8 things should dominate your mind so that you don't worry all the time. And you're not stressed out. And you're not sad. And you're not mad. Let's read it. What do you say? Verse 8. Finally, brethren. Which means he's given a concluding statement to this whole topic here. Talking about people worried and living in worry. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise. Finish that sentence there. Think on these things. Meditate on those things. Let those things dominate your thoughts and your mind. Now, I don't want to take time to go through that. That'd be a whole message in and of itself, but those are all good things, but honestly, those are not the things that dominate most people's minds. And that's why a lot of people are sad and depressed and full of despair. And all of us, when we get into the pit of despair, it will often go back to what we are letting dominate our thoughts. And that is going to be where the battle is fought, in your mind. Now, to get on down to where we're at, let's just skip on down there to verse number 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, the background of this, I dealt with that last summer when I was preaching on verses that are often taken out of context. I've heard people take this out of context and preach that you have freedom to do whatever you want to do. You can do anything you want to do. No, we have limits. How many of you agree with that? You do have limits. And you have a skill set. And you have gifts that God has given you. And then there are gifts that God did not give to you. And in those gifts that God did not give to you, there is not a purpose or a plan or a call from God to fulfill those gifts. I'm not like Brother Mike. God did not bless me with a beautiful singing voice. He is not like me. God did not bless him with a beautiful face. Miss Linda is even shaking her head. No, she's like, no, he does have a beautiful face. Yeah. Oh, my. Brother Mike, though, has a beautiful singing voice, and I'm so glad his voice has recovered from the surgery that he had. And he's able to sing again. But, you know, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I wish I could. Me and Julian both. All the times to say amen. I wish I could sing, man. I mean, I know we're not supposed to covet. We're not supposed to get jealous and all that. But I'm going to be honest. I get jealous of you singers. I just wish I could sing so bad. And I was talking to my son Julian, and Julian was cursed with my singing ability. And he's just not a singer. Now, he's a very talented musician, and I'm not a great guitar player, but I can play a little bit, but I play by ear, and I know how to figure out songs. I've written music. But, man, I can't sing. I went to that banquet last week to honor Dr. Tim Lee's 50th anniversary. Dr. Tim Lee, for some of you who don't know him, he was a Marine who in Vietnam stepped on a landmine and it blew his legs off. He was a track and field star in high school. He's got one of the most powerful testimonies you've literally ever heard. Talked about how he was running from God. He'd been raised in church, and he was running from God. At the time that he stepped, he said, God put me in a place that I could never run from him again. He's led literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Christ. And 50 years of preaching. I remember him preaching for my father, and I didn't know he was in my dad's office. He was in a wheelchair, and he's in his dress blues, and he had wheeled himself in, just kind of backed him up against these curtains in my dad's office. So I came in on a Sunday morning before I got out of Sunday school, and I wanted some candy. My dad had a jar of candy on his desk, and I said, I want some candy. So I slept in my dad's office. Of course, I was sneaking in there to get it, and my dad wasn't in there yet. He was not back from his class, but Dr. Lee was in the office. And I come in there, and I'm reaching in there, and I'm getting some candy out, and all of a sudden, I just kind of, you ever just feel that someone's watching you? He never made a sound. He's just sitting there. I turn around, and I mean, I'm like eye level with him, looking at him. I jumped about a foot in the air, and he started laughing, and I was telling him about that, and he said he remembered being at Dad's church and all those things. But anyway, sweet guy. But they had a guy there. What was his name, the one that sang? Charles Billingsley. Who's ever heard Charles Billingsley? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You've heard him? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, my soul. When he got done singing, I literally felt like I needed to go take a nap. It had so much power in it and energy. And I mean, so many ups. You know, hey, you do your voice. What do you call that, Miss Carol, where your voice goes all up and down and you know, then sings my soul. I don't know what that's called, but it's called talent. It's not that. She's like, I still have no idea what you're trying to tell me, preacher. It didn't sound anything like familiar. Oh, my soul. I sat there and I thought, my goodness, what in the world? I said, man, I'd give anything to sing like that. Wow. But, you know, I don't have any responsibility to do what Brother Mike did tonight. God didn't give me talent to sing. But you have talent to sing, and God wants you to use it. And some of you have limits. There's things God didn't give you the talent to do. There are things God gave you the talent to do. So this verse, when it's taught that you can do whatever you want, and we tell kids, well, the Bible says that you can do whatever you want to do. Well, that's sometimes we're stretching that a little bit. I mean, there are some kids that no matter how much they want to be a rocket scientist, they're just not gifted to be that. Am I right? You teachers start to see kids, and you start to see that, you know, if they are horrible at English, they're probably not going to be a writer. If they don't want to write and they don't like composition, I mean, you start to see their skill is just not in that particular field. But you start steering them toward where you see their talents as you start to see them develop. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. Paul wrote this when he was in prison. And he was, of course, discouraged and going through hard times. Just his whole ministry is just at a stalemate. Basically, he only can preach with a pen now, and then, of course, just people as he gets in contact with them. But he is saying, basically, life's hard, but I can get through all of this because of the strength in Jesus Christ. My faith and the power of Christ going through me can get me through anything. I can get through this. But I want to bring this out to you as my closing thoughts here. In Philippians 4:13, we see this truth that God has things he wants us to do. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. Do you know that God has something he wants you to do? God has something he wants you to do. You know, a lot of the works that are in churches all over America are going undone. There's no one in the church to do them. Nobody in the church to step up and do them. Nobody that is, you know, willing to do them. And it's not that they're anti-God or anti-God's service. They just don't often see themselves as the answer. And often, where does that come from? Whenever you see an opportunity to serve and you know that opportunity is there, it's something that God wants done, and yet it's going undone, and there's people in the church not doing it. What is often the sources of the people not doing it? What do you think? You ever had that feeling in church when there's an opportunity to serve and you suddenly start to feel the Holy Spirit say, you're supposed to do this? This one's for you? Don't you hate that? Especially when you're comfortable. Roger, you surrendered to be a missionary in our last missions conference. You felt the call of God. God had something he wanted you to do, but it's a little scary, isn't it? I mean, you've got a great job, and you've got responsibilities here and all kinds of stuff. I mean, was that a little scary?
Still a little scary.
Still a little scary. And you're going to a very dangerous place. It's a place that literally hates Christianity by large with their government. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Lots of laws against it. You pretty much have to go in covertly, right?
Yeah.
And yet God suddenly told you, I have a job I want you to do. Something that I want you to do. What immediately began happening in your brain the minute you heard the first voice that says, I want you to be a missionary to China?
Am I just jumping the gun?
Okay. Questions.
Yeah.
And those questions, what do they question? The ability of God?
The ability of
me. I mean, did you ever one time think God's unable to do it? Was that the issue? God's not powerful. God is crazy. God is... I mean, Moses made an argument to God that God had the wrong man. He never questioned God's ability to set his people free. He just questioned God's ability to do it through him.
Right.
Did you ever have that?
Absolutely.
So you had to work your way through that.
Still am.
You're still working your way through it. All the questions. Questions come with some things, don't they? What was that verse? Be careful for nothing. Don't be eaten up with worry. What do questions always come with?
Worry.
Worry.
And I'm a worry wart.
Yeah. We need to get saved and get over them. I'm kidding. I don't know why I said that. Anybody in here ever volunteered to do a ministry and you had to work your way through the questions? Has that ever happened? Brother Jim, questions are like, am I good enough for this? You got the wrong guy, God, because I have ailments. What did Moses immediately start throwing up at God? I can't talk. Now, God had a solution. But he immediately started giving God the elements, the reasons that were a part of his worry process. God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not the right one. God, I have problems. I wonder if God had to limit himself to only using people that don't have problems. How much work would he ever get done down here? How much? God, I've got issues. God, I've got weaknesses. And so God says, I want you to do something. Paul reminds us that we can do it, not through our own ability or power, but we can do it through the power of Jesus Christ. So we see in this, God has things he wants us to do. There's a job God wants you to do in his service. Often our fears and our worries keep us from doing it, but God says, hey, you can do all things through Christ, who will give you the strength to do it. So we see here that God has some things he wants us to do, and in that, he'll give us talents, he'll give us gifts, he'll give us skills, but more importantly, you know what God's going to give you? You ready for this? The greatest ability required to do God's work. You know what it is? Availability. Opportunity. Opportunity. He'll give you an opportunity to serve him if you'll make yourself available to his service. And he'll give you the skills and the abilities to do what he wants you to do. God never asks you to do something that he hasn't given you the ability and the opportunity and the resource to do it. That would just be cruel. It would be cruel to ask somebody to do something that you know they're not able to do it. God will never call you into something that he knows he didn't gift you and give you the ability to do it. I was thinking once again about Tim Lee. You know, Tim Lee was a pastor after he got out of the Marine Corps. Legs blown off, both legs. Pastored a church. And then the Lord called him to be a traveling evangelist. Told him to go. Get out there. Can you think? I mean, it's hard enough to do this with two legs. Hard enough to get on an airplane. Hard enough to travel and to go everywhere you got to go. And yet here's this guy in a wheelchair that God says, I want you to go. Get out there and travel from church to church to church. I can't even imagine how difficult that was for him. And yet, God asked him to do it. But you know what he found? He found that he had the ability to get it done. And so do you. The problem is we're so busy thinking of all the excuses to get us out of it versus the solutions to get us into it. And that goes back to we're worried and we're not giving it to God. God has something he wants you to do. And in that, God will give you the ability to do it. And we see that Jesus is the power source. So you have to go in his authority and you'll have his blessing. But here's the warning, and I'll close. If there is anything out there that will keep you from doing what God wants you to do, Satan will find it, and he will use it in your life. He'll find it, and he'll use it. You know what I have observed? Most people, what Satan finds to use in your life, it's not that you can't do it. I can do all things through Christ. If God's called you to do it, Brother Trinidad, God has called you to do this. I don't know how many thousands of people have gotten the gospel because of your faithfulness. But it comes with obstacles and questions and all the time frustrating things. But you have found, you have shared with me story after story of how God has come through and empowered and provided. It started with you getting over the worries and the questions and saying, God, I'll do it. And then God has provided because you can do what God has called you to do through the power of Jesus Christ. There's no way to explain it. It's unsearchable. It's unplannable. Did you ever think all those blessings would come to you when you were planning this? That you'd get some out of the blue, some offering? Or some guy walk up to you, give you the money, and then your tires all blow out that week, and you had the money to pay for it. You were planning on, you know, buying a new suit, but you ended up buying a new tire, but it kept your truck on the road. Has that ever happened? Sure, it's happened. That's how God works, man. It's not that you can't do it. God says, I need a Sunday school teacher. Oh, man, I could never do that. No, you could do it if God wants you to do it. If you're feeling the call to do it, you can do it. You can do what God's calling you to do. If God's called you to do it, He'll provide for you the strength and the source and the skills to do it. But if there's anything in your life that the devil can find to keep you from doing it, he will find it and he will use it. And in my experience, what most people have that he finds is their past. It's their past. I'm the chiefest of sinners. How in the world can I serve the Lord? How can I have the power of God? Look what I've done with my life. Look at the things that are back there. Look at the mistakes I've made. Oh, man, listen, I'm a big believer in this thing called failing forward. We all fail. We all do things that teach us lessons. Failing forward is whenever you make a mistake, but you keep going forward and you emerge from the mistake improved. Some people get defeated in their mistakes. Some people get discouraged in their mistakes. Some people get diverted in their mistakes. But the right thing is to go forward wiser, better. And here's the beauty of it. Even with a past, God says, I can do all things through Christ, which will strengthen me. Paul, the author of that verse, held the coats while they pounded a wonderful man of God with stones until he was dead. But he says, I can still serve the Lord because of the power of Jesus. I want you to just bow your heads for a moment tonight. Isn't the Word of God wonderful? About the time we get to thinking there's nothing we can do for God because we've messed it all up and we're full of worries and questions and the devil finds things in our life and says, you could never serve God. Look at you. You don't have any talent. You've got a bad past. You've made mistakes. Who are you? Nobody would follow you. Nobody would listen to you. You don't have this and you don't have that. But the people who can rise above that and realize, no, I can do what God's calling me to do. It'll be hard, of course. It'll be full of all kinds of obstacles, yeah. But I know God wants me to do it. The people that can rise up and say, I can do anything that God wants me to do through the power of Jesus will be successful and victorious, and they'll get things accomplished. Is that you? Have you been listening to all the things the devil throws up to stop you from believing that you can do what God wants you to do? Sometimes we fail because we're doing what we want to do. God doesn't empower that. But when God's in it, you can't stop it. You can't stop it. So are you that one that's been listening to the devil tell you that you can't do it, even though God said to do it? Although God said, you're my man, you're my lady, you're the one I want done doing this? Oh, man, I hope you'll think about that in your life. And often there'll be opportunities to serve God. Often there'll be a call to serve God. Often there'll be a preacher here. Maybe it's a revival, a missionary. Maybe what I'm preaching, where the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you and says, I want you to do this. Don't let the devil start coming to you saying, no, you can't. No, you can't. Yeah, but I'm sorry, but you can't. We need to let the Lord be the power source. Let him lift us up. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved tonight, but I do know that I need to be saved. Would you lift your hand up? Would you lift your hand up? Anybody? Preacher, I need to be saved. I'm looking around the room. I don't see any hands raised, but I recognize the face of about everybody here. We have two guests here, but I have no reason to doubt that they're not born again. Is there anyone that could say, though, preacher, I'm already saved, but the message spoke to my heart tonight. Would you just slip your hand up as a testimonial? Spoke to me. Good, good. Get something done for God. Why? Because you can. Because you can. You say, well, I'm the least member of this church. God has a plan for you of something He wants you to do. A purpose in His plan. And in that purpose, you'll find joy and you'll find peace and contentment. You'll find strength. Because in that purpose, Christ Jesus will strengthen you. We saw twice in that chapter where we are strengthened by Christ Jesus. We saw it in verse 7. We saw it there in verse 13. Amazing. Dear Father, I come to you, Lord. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you that you can use all of us, and that you tell us that we can do what you want us to do. We can get through what we have to get through because you'll strengthen us. And Lord, we need that strength all the time. Lord, the old devil comes to us and tells us that we can't. And he tells us that you'll just fail. He tells us that we're not qualified or we're not able. You'll just mess it all up. And often, Lord, unfortunately, we listen to that voice. We draw back. We don't go forward. But yet, Lord, let us remember that if you're calling us to do it, we can do it. And that you have something that you want all of us to do for your glory. Let us find that something. And let us not be detoured in it. Let us go forward to do it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your tender mercies and your grace and all the things that you have given to us, Lord, and the thanksgiving that you asked us to give, even in our needs. And if we do that, we'll find the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we all want that peace. We want it. We live in a world, Lord, where so many things happen every day. Lord, I don't believe there's been a single day in the last 3 months where somebody from somewhere that I know and that I love hasn't called me or texted me or emailed me where something major is going on in their life, from cancer to illness to tragedy to accidents to death to ministry mishaps. Lord, daily I am talking to somebody who's calling me to encourage them. And Lord, I feel that there's just a world of people hurting right now, people going through things. And Lord, I want them to, if they're listening to us on live feed, to catch this message. You can get through it. I know you don't want to go through it, but you can get through it because the power of Jesus will strengthen you to get through the things that He has put in before you. And all of us have to drink of a bitter cup sometimes. But we know that after that bitter cup will come great victory due to our faith. Let us hold our faith high. Now, Lord, we're fixing to come to you with some specific supplications, some prayers. Lord, we need you to intervene in them. We need you to hear them. There's people that we love that are dealing with great illness, and people that we love dealing with great financial burdens, and people that we love dealing with problems that are many. Problems in their spirit, problems in their home, problems in their finances, problems with their kids. Lord, I've heard all of these things in the last 3 months. This has been a hard year of people dealing with problems. Lord, we need that peace that passes all understanding, that comfort, that comforter that comes into our spirit and just simply whispers, it's going to be okay. Trust me. And let us hear that voice and let us find that peace. We ask this in Jesus' name.